Stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back and raised our swords to fight. For the Bible is our weapon and the Spirit is our shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love.
For the Christian who walks the narrow way, there's been a prize appointed for the soul who does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus, be all that I should be, so I can rest with Him forever, live eternally.
Before we get going here, Brother Bobby Coons is going to pray for little Addison. So, Brother Bobby, there's the mic. I guess let's let the choir kind of get situated, and then you tell us what we're going to do, brother.
Okay, everybody, up on the screen is my little great niece, Addison Hope, who's at Texas Children's, getting ready to go through her second bone marrow transplant. Hopefully it'll take this time. It is with her twin sister, Harper. And her verse that she reads is Psalms 33, 20 through 22, is as we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our hope and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfulfilling love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in You. I'd like everybody to join with me in prayer. This is happening Wednesday, and we just pray for an engrafting on her for this to take, because this is very serious. Just join me in prayer in unison, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, the great physician, Lord, I just come to you humbling myself before you, Lord, and just asking you, Lord, here with everyone else in this church and this congregation, just to forgive us our sins and make us pure before us, Lord, so you may hear our petition to you for Addison Hope, Lord. We just lift her up to you. We lay her at your feet and just work your will and your timing in her life, and let this be a testimony to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, some of the ladies are leaving for the fellowship to kind of get ready, and so that's where they're going. It's not, they're not protesting or anything. It's not a walkout. They're not protesting, right? And so that's what's going on. And whenever the choir sings that song, I almost want to shift gears and preach on Peter walking on the water. Amen. I mean, it just puts a hanker in my soul to preach that passage of Peter getting out there. And I always love that title. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat rider. Amen. That's right. Well, take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would. Remember, we have a fellowship and no Sunday night tonight, so I'm going to try to put two messages in today. No, just kidding. But, you know, you don't have to go anywhere for lunch, so we go as long as we need. No, just kidding on that. So, Psalm 84, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Psalm 84, the 84th Psalm, Psalm of David. All right. And we're looking at this here, Psalm chapter 84, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 84, correct. It's a departure from our Kings passage that we've been in, studying the life of Elijah. Psalm chapter 84. Have you found it this morning? The Word of God reads this in Psalm chapter 84. It says, "How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." And then that exclamation, that crescendo of worship, Salah. "How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob." And then we have that other crescendo, that pause, that exclamation of worship, Salah. "Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your inerrant word. Father God, I pray our hearts would be attuned, we'd be open to receive the truth of this word, the truth of this message. Lord, we can't cover all this chapter, but Lord, as we seek to hit some of the high points of it, Father God, I pray that you make us more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray we get a renewed sense of our desire to be together to worship. And Lord, may we just feel how blessed we are to have a church home and to have church family, to have fellowship, and to have encouragement along the way. Father God, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for your anointing over this time. And Lord, we just pray for freedom to preach and freedom to hear. And Lord, may you bind the forces of the evil one. And Lord, may your word go forth. And if there's one here that doesn't know you today, doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that at the conclusion of this preaching time, that they would find themselves down here in the altar seeking what it takes, how does one become saved? And Lord, we would love to share with them today the truth of your word of salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you for having a home prepared for us. And Lord, thank you for the promise that one day you're coming again to take us there. We love you. We praise you, Lord. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. The title of the message is simply this: Jesus' church is something special. His church is something so very special. This morning, our text that we read together, it is a psalm of the tabernacle. Now, my Bible calls it a psalm, a longing for temple worship. But scholars tell us that this psalm was written by none other than King David while he was on exile from Jerusalem during the rebellion of his son Absalom. Now, Pastor, why ever would he leave Jerusalem running for his life from one of his sons? Well, if you'll remember the passage or remember the story of Bathsheba and the conclusion to that, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10, the Word of God reads, "Now therefore," this is Nathan the prophet, confronting the king, very difficult to do, but following God's will and following God's word, Nathan goes to David, 2 Samuel 12, 10, "Now therefore the sword," these are the consequences for his adultery, "now therefore," and murder, "now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house," King David basically, "because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." So after David repented and is still living the consequences of his own personal sin, he's not bitter. He's no longer wayward. He's come back to God. And yet he is in one of the great trials of his life. He's been flushed out of the royal city. He's been flushed out of his residence. He's running for his life. In the midst of that, he's still a worshipful man. David was a man who loved the house of the Lord. To David, there was no place on this earth so special as that one place where the Lord had chosen to place his name and to demonstrate his presence. At this time in the biblical record, it is the tabernacle. For David, the tabernacle was the place he desired to be. Now, I realize that today in the church age, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, after the closed canon of the Word of God, after all the apostles have come and gone and are dead, I realize that the true house of God is heaven. Amen? That's the true house of God. And I realize that His true tabernacle now is the heart of the believer. Amen? However, the visible symbol of both of these things, the visible symbol of both of these things is the church. That's you. That's us together here this morning. When the saints of God gather themselves together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, there is nothing on this earth that is any closer to heaven than that. This place in which we gather is a place dedicated to the worship and glory of God. Now, thinking of David, thinking of his abandonment of the city, thinking about the trial that he's in with his son pursuing him, thinking about his longing to be in the presence of God, the things that made the tabernacle special to David ought to be the same things that make the church special to us this morning. And if I were to ask each of you, if you find church inspirational, like David found the tabernacle and the presence of God inspirational, then no doubt most of you would answer yes. Now some of you would probably say, what? But most of you would answer yes. Think about that word for a moment, inspirational. Think about that truth for a moment, inspire. What do you mean by that, inspire? What do you mean by inspirational? What do you mean that David found the presence of God in the tabernacle and the worship of God? What do you mean he found that inspirational? Inspire. Listen, inspire. What is it? Inspire means to fill someone. And fill someone with the urge or the ability to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. Man, I want to tell you, God gets in here and we come around God and we become His house and we become His people and we assemble to be His church and He anoints the time and He blesses it and the Word of God pings your heart and God grips your soul and you leave this place on a Sunday afternoon and you go about your week and you're living the victorious creative life. Amen for Jesus. To bring glory and honor to His name, right? Synonyms of this inspiration, synonyms of inspire include stimulate, motivate, cause, include persuade, encourage, influence, move, include to stir, include to energize. The word inspire is a great word to describe the church. I want to share four truths with you from this psalm today. And you say, why, Pastor, why just four, and what's the point? And I want to share four truths from this psalm because of God's presence. Because of God's presence. Because of God's presence that was in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. But because of God's presence here. And because of God's presence in us, and because of God's Holy Spirit right now. Well, Pastor, why and how is God's presence in us? Because of Jesus' sacrificial death on Calvary's cross for our sin. See, when we think about everyone sitting here today that's saved, when we think about the group here, right? Jesus' church is something special. Point number one, Jesus' church. It's a special church, right? Jesus' church, point number one, inspires a sense of delight. We're delighted to be here, right? Look at Psalm 84, verse 1. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. How lovely. David, he describes the house of God, the tabernacle of God, as being lovely. In some texts, it talks about being amiable, which means worthy to be loved. And when we think about his tone, when we think about his delight, when we think about his inspired attitude and mindset, well, that ought to rub off on us today. 2019. God's people ought to love the church. They ought to love it. Now, there are two good ways to show our love for the church because, you know, a lot of people say they love the church. They love the Word of God. They love Jesus. They don't ever talk to Jesus. They don't ever look at God's Word. They don't ever come around. But they say they love it. So I question their definition of love. But if we really mean what we say, there are two good ways to show our love for the church. Number one, be present. Be present. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to, here's that word again, stimulate or inspire, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Man, I tell you, I went next door this morning to get a donut and a cup of coffee. And I was listening to the Bible teaching going on in the Sunday school classes. Oh, man. Whoo! That sounded so sweet to my ears. I want to tell you, what a delight. How delighted to know that people are present, right? Bringing glory and honor to their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, getting around His Word and discussing the truth of it and asking questions about it. How can we show that we love the church? Well, number one, be present. But number two, when we're present here, how about be pleasant? Present and pleasant. Amen? Be pleasant. Taking from the Psalms again, Psalm 122, verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, hey, I was once an adolescent, and I was once a young child, and I was once lost, and I know what it means to be raised on drugs, right? I mean, I was drugged to church quite a bit early on, amen? Drugged to church, right? I know what it is to sit there and not be in love with the church. I know what it is to count the seconds on a watch and think, man, time is moving too slow. I know what that's like, right? But praise the Lord when the Holy Spirit gets us, right? When He convicts us of sin, you know, God's Word doesn't return void. Keep dragging them, amen? Keep dragging them if you must, right? And get them here under the Word. And live the Word in front of them. And teach the Word best you can with your attitude and speech and all of that. And who knows, that penny may drop one day. Oh, that truth may settle in that heart one day. And instead of just being present here, they'll be present and pleasant here. Amen? There are many reasons why I love the church. I want you to listen to a few of them with me this morning. I find hope here. When I come here, I find help here. Not only do I find help and hope, but there's fellowship here. And not only is there fellowship, there's friendship. And not just friendship, there's companionship. The guys were out here working on the front of the school, getting ready to match the church with the stucco and the stone. And companionship is letting your pastor slow you down. You know, pastor, you do this and do that. And man, I'm over there with a speed square and a pencil, and this is what I'm thinking to myself. They could have this done about 10 times faster than what I'm doing this. I mean, if I had to do this for a living, I would starve, right? Right? And then they handed me a nail gun. Now, that's companionship, brother. There's some people trusting in the Lord to give this guy a nail gun. It's not a little nail gun. We're not talking about a trimmer. We're talking about a framer. That sucker's got some puncheroo to it, right? And companionship is telling the preacher when to move his hand so he doesn't throw a nail through it. Amen? That companionship and understanding. And after lunch, we went to lunch, and when we came back, I said, guys, you know, I'm gonna get out of your way and let you work, right? And I just said thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part, right? Companionship, understanding. You know what I find here? I find worship. Oh man, when the choir's singing, I just close my eyes and I get a sense of heaven, because this is the closest thing to heaven until we get there. Amen? Heaven. I find the things I need for my journey through life. My journey through life is hard. My journey through life is difficult. It's bumpy. There are problems along the way. But when I come to the church, when I get around God's people, people that love me, people that love the Lord, people that I can love back, when I get around them, I find help for the journey. I'm thankful for the desire the Lord has placed in me to be in His house. By being his house. See, He's given me a desire to come to His house. But when I come to His house, we are literally His house as we assemble. So I'm thankful for the desire the Lord has placed in me to be in His house by being His house when the people of God come together and assemble. See, I love the church this morning. And I know that most of you do too. Amen? Or you probably wouldn't be here. Now again, there are some that are here under duress, right? But we're praying that one day they'll not only be present, but they'll be present and pleasant, right? Jesus' church inspires a sense of delight. But secondly this morning, Jesus' church inspires a sense of desire. Look at verse 2 with me. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. Verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. David tells us his entire being longed to be at the house of God. His soul, his body, and his heart, it longed to be in a place of worship. And we think, we begin to speculate. We read these verses, and I study these commentaries, and I pray this through and mull it over in my mind, and perhaps maybe David remembered what many saints of God have forgotten. Maybe he remembered that the house of the Lord is an oasis in the desert of this world. Maybe he remembered, as he's running for his life, being chased by his son Absalom, who literally wants to kill him. Maybe he remembered that the house of the Lord is a safe haven from the storms of life. Whatever thoughts occupied his mind. When he thought of the house of God, I believe his pulse quickened. When he thought of the house of God, I believe his eyes brightened. I believe his face lit up, and he longed to be there more than anything else in his life. And all through David's life, he exhibited this desire to be in the house of the Lord. Speaking from the Psalms again, Psalm 27:4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. The whole idea from David's experience is that he was a man who loved the house of the Lord, and he longed for it when he could not be there. What's the truth in our day today? What's the truth with a lot of believers today? Far too many in our day see the church as something that they can either take or something that they can leave. It's kind of an option, church. And let me give you a point of application here. We need to understand. We need to get a hold of it this morning. This is the point. That the desires of the heart reveal the condition of the soul. We need to get that today. In other words, what you long for in life reveals what you love, and what you love reveals who you are. So the question is, are you your own? Are you the devil's? Or are you the Lord's? I can tell you the one you want to be is the Lord's, amen? You want to be the Lord's on that deal, right? There's a very good reason why the children of God should long for the Father's house. We should long for it when we're not here. See, Jesus' church is a place to meet God. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Verse 2, the second half, right? My joy, my soul, my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Verse 2, second half. Now, when we think about our theology, when we think about church age, when we think about New Testament, when we think about all the truth of the bailiwick combined together, when we start to think about these things, I realize that the Lord is always with His children. Hebrews 13:5 testifies to that. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, testifies of that. I also realize that God dwells in His children. Colossians chapter 1:27 testifies to that. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that. John chapter 14, verse 18 speaks of that. However, I also know that he has promised to meet with his people when they gather together to genuinely worship him in spirit and truth. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And when I think about coming together, when I think about getting all of us in a room and singing praises to his name and praying to him as our one true God and exhibiting our love towards God and just getting wrapped up in the worship of who he is, when I begin to think about that and I think about the blessing that comes my way from that, I don't want to miss that. I don't want to be like Thomas. You understand? I don't want to be like Thomas. Remember, Jesus died, buried, and resurrected, and began to reveal himself to his disciples. And where's Thomas? Well, Thomas is absent. When the Lord showed up, he missed a blessing in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 24. He missed a blessing. I do not want to miss a thing that the Lord has for me. Do you? I don't want to miss it. That's why I want to be here as often as I possibly can. I don't want to miss the point, and you don't want to miss the point that the Bible makes to point out that Thomas was missing. Don't miss that point. I mean, the Bible records it some 2,000 plus years ago under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Thomas wasn't there. Well, why are you telling me that, Pastor? Well, when you're not here, we miss you. And when you're not here, Jesus notices you're not here, right? Jesus' church inspires a sense of delight. Jesus' church inspires a sense of desire. But thirdly this morning, Jesus' church inspires a sense of devotion. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. As David, as he thought about the Lord's house and about how far away from the Lord's house he was, he began to reflect on the little birds that made their homes within the confines or precinct, if you will, of the tabernacle. And I just ask you the question, can you read those verses, you read this psalm, can you hear the longing in David's voice? Can you hear the desire as he wishes that he too might be able to be simply near, just near to the tabernacle like the birds were, right? Do you hear the devotion in his voice? As he thinks of these birds, he mentions two birds. Now, in my New American Standard Version, we miss one of the birds. It just says birds. But in the King James Version, it talks about both kinds of birds. In other translations, it mentions the other bird by name. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, in my translation where it says birds, it's talking about the sparrow. And then all of our translations should have the bird, the swallow. The sparrow and the swallow. If these birds were to be labeled, we could label them both as very lowly and very common. Lowly and common little bitty birds, right? However, David tells us that both of these little birds found exactly what they needed at the house of God. And let me give you that other point of application this morning. The other point is this. Jesus' church, his church is so special. Jesus' church is where we can find exactly what we need. Exactly what we need. Well, you say, Pastor, I feel unwanted. I feel unwanted. Well, Jesus' church is a place for the unwanted, right? It's a place for the unwanted. The sparrow. I mean, who wants 1,000 sparrows? I don't. Do you want 1,000 sparrows? How about 10,000 sparrows? No, I'll pass on the sparrows. The sparrows, perhaps not wanted, they arrived in great numbers. They came needy. They came looking for a place of shelter. They came looking for food, and they came what they were looking for. You think about these little birds for a moment. They are the perfect picture of the sinner. However, there are some contrasts to the sinner as well. Whereas the birds are not wanted, are not invited, the sinner is wanted and invited. Amen? The sinner is wanted and invited. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll do what? I'll give you rest." Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Right? Wanted and invited. Though all are in need for shelter and food, all of the little birds, there is plenty of provision in the Lord for all. This place, this church, is a place that is truly the place for the unwanted, for the rejected, and for the broken. Jesus' church is a place, in one sense, of a permanent dwelling. This verse, these verses we're looking at, talking about the sparrow, it says the sparrow has found a house. What? Yeah, a house. What? Well, a house is a permanent place of dwelling, isn't it? It's a permanent place of residence. Thank God the church is a place where we can set down our roots and we can dwell. Amen? The idea of a house brings to mind the image of a comfortable, of a safe, and suitable dwelling. A suitable dwelling is what I found in the church. I found my congregation. I found my place. I found my people. Amen? Jesus' church is a place in one sense of a permanent dwelling, but in another sense, Jesus' church is a place for the pilgrim. You say, what do you mean by a pilgrim? Well, look about, and let's talk about the sparrow for a moment, or the swallow. While the sparrow is more of a permanent resident, having a house, the swallow is a pilgrim in that, how does it go in this hemisphere? He flies away in the fall, and he returns in the spring. He's kind of a wanderer, isn't he? Yet at the tabernacle, the pilgrim, the swallow, he found a place of safety and shelter in the midst of his journeys, right? We see the word nest there, right? The pilgrim saints have found the church to be the same for them. Pilgrim saints, they're way long gone. If you're saved today, you're a saint, amen? And if you're a saint today in the church age, guess what, pilgrim? You're just passing through, right? You're just passing through. The pilgrim saints have found the church to be the same for them. The house of God is a place of safety. The house of God is a place of shelter in a cruel world that we live in. It's a place where the cares of life can be laid aside and rest can be found. I mentioned the word nest. Note the word nest. This gives the idea of something temporary. Temporary. I say it's a blessing, a temporary blessing. I'll take it. Amen? The church in this form that we are experiencing today, that you are experiencing right now at this moment, is a great gift from the Lord. But let me tell you something. This church will soon transition from the nest to our final residence one day. And we know some folks that have already transitioned, don't we? They've already gone on to be with the Lord. And one day, the journey of life will end, and we will go to that eternal home in the heavens. Amen? Jesus' church, it inspires a sense of delight. It inspires a sense of desire. It inspires a sense of devotion. But finally, this morning, Jesus' church inspires a sense of deliverance. Look at verses 5 through 7. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Jesus' church inspires a sense of deliverance. Number one, deliverance from hopelessness. Verse 5. Strength in this context equals faith. Amen? Faith. Verse 5. In whose heart are the highways to Zion. Zion is the city of God. It's heaven. Amen? Those in the church who live and walk by faith have their eyes set on heaven. Set on heaven. We don't have our eyes set on the earth. We have our eyes set on heaven. What does that mean? It means that our hope is on God and not things. We don't hope on things. We hope on God. Jesus' church inspires a sense of deliverance. Deliverance from hopelessness. But secondly, deliverance from discouragement. Verse 6 talks about the valley of Baca. Baca means discouragement and sorrow. That's followed with springs, means place of refreshment. My oldest daughter just came back. Where'd you come from? Frio? Yeah, Frio River, spring fed. How cold was the water? 50s? 60s? Yeah. When it's 98, it's pretty refreshing, isn't it? Yeah. When the temperature humidity index is off the chart, you get in that Frio and it feels good. Amen? And then it says, not just springs, but the early rain also covers it with blessings. Scholars tell us, people a lot smarter than your pastor, tell us that in this context, water is a reference to the Spirit of God. That David is looking forward to a time that will be Holy Spirit refreshing. Amen? Holy Spirit refreshing. Deliverance from hopelessness, future, deliverance from discouragement, and then finally, Jesus' church inspires a sense of deliverance, future deliverance from sin and evil. Verse 7 speaks of strength to strength. Strength to strength. For David, just as for us, when we look to the Lord and not to ourselves, when we seek to worship Him and not worship I, there is a victory, there is a strength that can carry us through the difficult, that can carry us through the trying, that can carry us through the temptations of life, so we can live from strength to strength. We won't live perfectly, but we will live victoriously. Strength to strength. As we think about David's desire and his delight and devotion, we think about how he's talking about his deliverance even in the midst of fleeing for his life. That's a man of faith, amen? When we think about that, we may ask the question, Pastor, that's an incredible attitude to have. That is an incredible mindset to have for the Lord's church, to have for His presence amongst us when we come together and worship Him in spirit and truth, bringing glory and honor to His name. Wow, Pastor, that is awesome, but how do I better have that mindset? How do I get a hold of that attitude and really sink into it? Well, David had dealt with the sin in his life. And after he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, thus David had repented, knowing there were real consequences coming for his previous actions, even beyond the death of Uriah the Hittite and the death of his infant son. Yet in spite of lying in his proverbial bed, listen to this, in spite of lying in his proverbial bed that he had made for himself by his own sinful actions, the reality of God's grace, the reality of God's mercy, the reality of God's forgiveness, the reality of God's goodness, the reality of God's love for David in the midst of his trials, in the midst of his pain, were more than enough for King David. More than enough. Even in exile, even with his own flesh and blood pursuing him, trying to kill him. How do we have this mindset? How do we have this attitude? the passage gives us a hint of what can lead us in this mindset. Back to the birds. You know, we're getting ready to try to eat 30 pounds of birds. Amen? So let me just get your appetite going. Back to the birds. If you will, the sparrow and the swallow are lowly and little, humble and tiny little creatures of the air. They're not filled with self. They're not like the old big old black crow. They're not like the dirty old buzzard on the side of the road. They're not like the majestic eagle swooping in the sky. They're just sparrows and swallows. Lowly, humble, little birds. You know, they're not filled with themselves. You know what they're filled with? They're filled with their needs. They know what they need, and they know how their needs are satisfied. Do you know what you need today? You need Jesus. Well, I have Jesus, Pastor, I'm saying. You know what you need today? You need the worship of God. You know what you need today? You need the Word of God. You know what you need today? You need the prayer. You know what you need today? You need the fellowship of the saints. You know what you need today? You need this. That's what you need. Amen? And the person that embraces this attitude, that has this mindset, is the person who's figured this out. Has figured out what their true needs really are. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the truth contained therein. And Lord, as we seek to be honest with it, and we said we couldn't cover all of it today, but we hit the high points of it. Father God, we pray that you would continue to work in the hearts of your people. Lord, you would bring about the change that needs to happen in each and every heart here. And perhaps, Lord, it's not a big change that needs to happen. Perhaps it's a small change. But for some, maybe it's a big change. And for some, maybe it's a salvation. So, Lord, in a few moments when after this prayer time, we prepare to sing to you a hymn of invitation. Lord, I pray that we would be honest and we would be genuine and we would be submissive. And we would be malleable in your hands, God. And we would just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us where we need to be ministered at. We need to come to the altar and pray. We need to come to the altar and pray. If we need to pray where we're at in our pew, we need to pray where we're at in our pew. If we need to sing in worship, we need to sing in worship. Lord, whatever you would have us do, however you would lead us during this time, may we be submissive to that. Lord, we thank you again for your church. Thank you that you've called us and you've allowed us to be a part of this church. And Lord, I pray if we don't take any truth out of here, we take this truth. That you love us and your church is truly a special church. Thank you, God, for loving us and saving us. Be with those that need to make decisions, life change decisions, destiny decisions, where they'll spend their eternity. Lord, help us. May we seek your face. May we understand our need. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. Amen. You'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah, lead us in a time of invitation.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all.
Amen. Amen. We love him today. Amen. Praise his name. Give him a hand. Amen. Praise God. All right. Don't forget, 30 pounds of chicken and all the sides. Go with it. We need it. We need every mouth to help in the crusade to do away with them birds. Amen? Amen. Going to be good. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Kenneth to close us out today and to pray for the food. Amen. Okay. And y'all all come. All right. Y'all all be a part of it. Don't forget, no service tonight. Thank you, Brother Kenneth.
Father, we're coming to you today, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity we have to be in your house. Thank you for everyone that's here today, Lord. Pray you just bless each family represented here. Lord, you pray you just go with us next door, Lord, as we get ready to celebrate a function where we have a fellowship among ourselves, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray that you bless the food. We thank you for the food. We thank you for the ones that prepared it.
That's
pray
right.
you
yes.
bless everyone that has a hand in it, Lord. Go with us as we go through this service. Go with us in the after service, Lord, and we pray that your will be done and everything that's said and done. We ask you to bless that food again to the nourishing of bodies, and thank you for the ones that prepared it, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You folks are dismissed. May you go in the grace and mercy of Christ. We'll see you next door.